Welcome to the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman, where Jerry reads a chapter from the New Testament and gives us key insights and life applications along the way. For more information about the Solid Life Journal and reading plans, visit solidlives.com. And now, let's get into today's reading.
Okay, here we go. There really are some good truths in here that are unique in that they're said in a way here that they're not said any other place in the Bible. All right, here we go. Chapter 5, 1 John, here's what it says. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Let me say that a different way. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the word Christ means anointed one, or Hebrew Messiah, that he is the Messiah, the Savior that was promised in the Old Testament that he would come, the son of David, the descendant of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, and so on. And so whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. In other words, everyone who loves Father God who begot Jesus also loves Jesus who was begotten of Father God. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And so it's like if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So if we love the children of God, then we know that we love God and keep his commandments. If we love God and keep his commandments, then we know that we love the children of God. So he's just saying, look, loving one another goes hand in hand with loving God and obeying the commandments of the Lord. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Boy, just that statement right there. His commandments are not burdensome. Whenever you have somebody that's saying, oh, just a bunch of do's and don'ts, you know, like God's a party pooper, and man, there's just so many rules, and it's just so much pressure, and oh, that's so not true. Let me tell you, there are a lot of commandments, but these commandments are like guardrails on a very narrow road on a high mountaintop, you know. These commandments give us the best life. They keep us safe. They keep us on the path of life. They keep us going upward. See? And so his commandments are not burdensome. He's not asking us to, you know, carry a 300-pound weight up to the top of Mount Everest. No. He's giving us commandments, but all of these things are doable. They're all common disciplines to humanity. It's just that they're from God. And so they have his wisdom built into them. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Notice again, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. In other words, you're not just going to be able to walk in principles and overcome spiritual darkness and the resistance of the devil. Mm-mm. You're going to have to do this by faith. You're going to have to believe God, believe his word, stand on the promises of God, pray when it doesn't look like it's going to work, continue to walk and be obedient to God when it doesn't look like it's going to work, and have faith. And then the power of God goes into operation and brings to pass those prayers that you've prayed, moves the mountains that you've commanded to move, causes the devil to flee when you resist the devil, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to have to do these things by faith and stick to them. But what you're going to find out is the power of God is backing you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Okay, verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. So Jesus came in the flesh. He's flesh and blood. Water, the water of the womb. But Jesus was born as a flesh and blood human being. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So the Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus having come in the flesh, flesh and blood. The Spirit bears witness because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Of course, we remember in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So we know that when it says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Word obviously is Jesus, the Son of God, also called the Word of God. And it says, and these three are one. This is the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, but one God. There's only one God. Okay, verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. Well, this is up to many people's interpretation, but I can tell you this, that the water, the blood, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, just think of a human being, okay? There is your spirit, your soul, and your body. So the water, this would be the water of the womb, and when your body is born from your mother. But notice this, the Spirit, and it goes on to say, the Spirit and the water. So the Spirit is your spirit, the water would be your body, and the blood. Now, what is the blood? Well, if you look in the Old Testament, you'll find out that the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. But that word life, you'll find out, is the word soul, the life or the soul of the flesh is in the blood. So there are some different views on this, but I tend to think that this is relating to us as human beings bearing witness here on the earth, spirit, soul, and body. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. So if you're really born again, you'll have a witness inside of yourself, as was mentioned in the previous chapter, and also what I've mentioned that the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Verse 10, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. This is the testimony that God has, past tense, for every born again believer, he's already given us eternal life. Well, our bodies may not make it past, you know, so many years, but in our spirits, God has given us eternal life. So we're going to live forever, and not just forever, but with God. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This eternal life is in his Son, in the Lord Jesus. That is the life. You remember at the beginning of this whole book, chapter 1, John was saying, I'm testifying about the word of life, and this was the life that was manifested, and we beheld his glory. So the life that he was talking about was Jesus, the life of God, this eternal life that came into the world as a human being. And now he's referring back to this, that the eternal life that we have in us is in Jesus. The life came from Jesus. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's just that simple. Do you have Jesus the Son? Then you have life, this eternal life. If you do not have Jesus the Son, then I don't care what you believe, what religion, how much you love God or any other being out there, spirit being, higher power. If you don't have the Son of God, you do not have eternal life. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So I'm writing this to you because I want you to know, because you believed, I want you to know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And now I want to get to two of my favorite verses in the New Testament, especially when it comes to prayer and faith. Verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. This is a bold statement, let me tell you. John is saying, I'm going to show you how you can know 100% that your prayer will be answered. He said in verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, so you can ask anything, but according to his will. He said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So this is why we have the word of God. We need to know what the will of God is for our lives. Because, for example, I'm a married person. Well, I can't be asking God for some relationship with some lady. No, I've already got a wife. I need to be continually directing my heart to my wonderful wife. And by the way, I've got a wonderful one. But see, you can't just ask for whatever your flesh would desire. Say, for example, if you're called to be an attorney, you can't beg God and say, God, I'm begging you, I want to be a pastor. Well, you can, but that's not the will of God for you. See, you need to do the will of God for your life. You need to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. And I yield myself to you. And see, if we're asking according to his will, then we know that he hears us. But like James taught us in the book of James, he said, you have not because you ask not. And you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss to spend it on your own pleasures. You're missing God. You're not in the will of God. Well, John is saying the same thing. He's saying, look, this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. If we're asking according to his will, he hears us. Okay, that's powerful. But it gets even more powerful. He goes on to say, and if we know that he hears us, watch this, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we've asked of him. He's going to do it. Boy, that's a bold statement, but it's in the word of God. It's absolutely the truth. And this is why we need to know that we're asking according to God's will. And this is why we have to know his word, because all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen to the glory of God through us, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Okay, so that's a powerful little two-verse message on how to know that our prayers will be answered. Ask according to his will, and then believe that God hears and that he will bring it to pass. Okay, verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. In other words, for example, say somebody is a believer, but they're overeating a little bit, and they know they shouldn't do it, or they're having too much dessert, like many people do. And they know they shouldn't do it. And so the Bible says, he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. But there are sins leading to death. There's a difference between having too many desserts in a week and committing adultery. And so John is acknowledging, look, sin is sin, but not all sins are leading to death. Some sins are not in that category. We just have to understand. Does God still want us to obey him? He does. But we can't just equate the sin of having too many desserts in a week versus somebody that's willfully walking out an adulterous relationship. And so John is clarifying that there is a difference. Verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. And he hit this in chapter 3 as well. And he went on to say, cannot sin. And I told you that I believe that this is talking about our born-again spirits, that our born-again spirits don't sin. Our flesh may still sin, and we're responsible for that, but our born-again spirits do not. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We are responsible for our bodies, our minds, our thoughts, our words, all of it. We're responsible. And so we, the born-again spirit part of us, we need to take captive and control the rest of our being so that we do not sin. Verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. I quote this on a fairly regular basis. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We could say it like this, except for those who are born again, the whole world is under the influence. The whole world has drunk the Kool-Aid of the enemy, so to speak. And that's why we're trying to get people out of that deception and out from under the influence of the devil. But the devil is the god of this age. He is the prince of the power of the air of this world. And the world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Notice, talking about Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. End of the book. And so, what a powerful little book. And of course, John also wrote 2 John and 3 John, much smaller books, but nonetheless, I look forward to getting into each of those with you tomorrow and the next day.
Thank you for joining us for the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman. And thank you to those of you who have partnered with Solid Lives to help get this daily podcast and other resources like it to thousands of people around the world. If you would like to partner with Solid Lives, visit solidlives.com/give. To find out more about the ministry of Solid Lives, how you can be a part of this church planting and disciple making movement, or for more great teachings and resources by Jerry, visit solidlives.com. We also want to invite you to check out Jerry's other podcast called The Jerry Dierman Podcast. Here, Jerry shares with us at least weekly from God's Word, challenging us and equipping us to fulfill the amazing plan that God has for our lives. You can find links to this podcast, as well as Jerry's YouTube channel, online at solidlives.com. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll see you right here tomorrow as we jump into the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman.